Christianity is not a life of struggle. That's why God has given us his grace, so that we enjoy a free flow of his kingdom.
Join Prophet Simon Thomas of Glory Carriers Ministry International as he brings you the divine word of God in its simplicity.
Thank you, Holy Spirit. As long as there is breath, not life yet, breath. As long as you can breathe, the Lord can come through. For he has already come through. And there will be a replay of the victory of the cross in your life. I see a generation rising that will stand with the cross and take the cross through every darkness. I'm sensing it so strong in my spirit. Not because I never knew before, but it's so heavy, like I always felt it was heavy. And it's even heavier this wonderful evening. And I understand Satan is coming so hard. But what is in you is harder than any situation. It's tougher than any situation. A generation that will learn to believe the word of the Lord. Beyond all the enticement in the world. A generation that are simply led by the Spirit and have no confidence in the flesh. A generation that will care less about the applause of men and sit with the Lord and be comfortable and be in peace because the Lord is saying, well done. Such a generation is rising. For as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons. And such a generation is rising. A generation that understands that to obey is better than sacrifice. I see the generation rising this wonderful evening and occupying every facet. You know, tomorrow you will see yourself today in your imagination and thank God for every phase of life you have experienced. Because it's going to be more like a testimony for somebody rising. You know, I had a report from a dear wonderful man of God online, and I couldn't agree less. He was saying, don't be ashamed of sharing your stories, even as men of God and high influential people. He says, because you are ministering hope to someone. I saw someone, something, was it 2 days back? And I was smiling because people don't know, a lot of people had gone through those kind of situations. A man of God said he had been addicted. I don't know if you saw that video, would I say, or picture? I think quite a popular man of God, I think, in Cameroon or something, from my research, little research. Not sure I'm 100% accurate. That he has been addicted to watching pornography as a preacher. Even as a preacher for 10 years. And people were like, woo, woo, woo. And, you know, I smiled, not to shame him, but I smiled and said to my heart, I said, many people don't understand this sad reality. Firstly, that it is not all that glitters, that it is gold. Now, not to condemn the man of God, but that, you see, there are what we call in school, some of you are in university and you are taught, there's what we call, core courses, and there are some courses we call electives, meaning you can decide to fail elective, but you can still be, you know, you may not actually write elective again in the next phase if you fail it, not necessarily, isn't it? Except there's a deficiency in your TC, right? But when it comes to core courses, you must pass core courses. And if you fail core courses, you must repeat it. Even if you have graduated after 4 years, you have to come back. Because they don't believe you understand that niche of knowledge until you understand that course. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That's how it is in the kingdom. There are general knowledge that people can just play with and, you know, just get to enjoy themselves with. And it doesn't matter if they know it or not. But there are things you ought to know. There's something you must know. Paul speaking to a church, he said, I desire to know nothing amongst you but Christ and him being crucified. And somebody is wondering, you think this message now will be very admired by everybody? A message that has the potency to change the world will be admired by everybody? Give Satan some credit. He will make sure that that message is seen as foolishness. That's why Paul, speaking in 1 Corinthians 1, he said, the gospel is foolishness to they that are what? Perishing. I know you are looking for people who are perishing because you are wondering, who is the person? Anybody that is anti the gospel, the simplicity of the gospel, is perishing. I don't know if you get what I'm trying to explain. That means they may look all nice and say very big things, but if they look down on the sincere understanding of Christ, are you get what I'm trying to say? The simplicity. In fact, Paul calls it the simplicity of the gospel. It is too simple and too nice and too easy to be true. You galleon. He said they are perishing. They want tough things. I submit to you, I've been preaching for years, there are a lot of tough looking people who are dying. I am not telling you carnally devised fables. I know this thing like I know my name, and I'm not here to shame anybody. I've been pastoring. I've pastored a lot of young people like me. I still mentor a lot of young people like me. You may not see me going everywhere. That's because of my own consecration with the Lord. But I know what I'm telling you, and I'm not here mocking them if they are listening to me online. It is to make you understand that it is not the no knowledge of everything that you hear around that makes you a strong Christian, but the core message of Christ. Peter said, you are the Christus. What did Jesus say? He said, upon this revelation, our word build my church. In fact, if God had to factor him as a leader, he said, upon this rock, upon you, I'll build my church. We started teaching. And you know, one time I was talking with a few people, and you can be seated. I was talking with a few people, and they asked me a question. Because, you know, if you are good with history, especially if you care to know history along the church, the history of the church, the metamorphosis of the church, as regards how the church started from the first generation to now, you will understand that one of the oldest churches we have today is the Catholic Church, all right? And they are not the oldest because they were the first, all right? We can't really trace churches, all right, that are in the days of the apostles. We can't really trace which church is which church. But according to even history, now I'm not saying this is a 100%. You know, sometimes you have to be disciplined and say it the way you feel it. It is to me. I'm not giving it 100% credit. But from my little research, I haven't found that a lot of scholars are saying that the church that Paul pastored, is the present day Catholic. Now, that doesn't mean Paul started the Catholic Church. I don't know if you get what I'm trying to explain. But with the metamorphosis and the changes through time, you know, of course, with the metamorphosis and the changes through time, you can't link the church today to Paul's teaching. Because the truth is that we are not condemning them. But you understand what I'm trying to say. If you really understand the teachings of Paul, you know that it doesn't link with some of their beliefs. Are we together? But of course, it is because men are involved in the system. Just like you can't today link the church called Methodist to John Wesley in 100% belief as he started. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Because if we talk about John Wesley today, not to mock the Methodist guys, wonderful people, but not to mock them, John Wesley is the founder of the grace message. Alright? So as I said it now, and you, if you grew in Methodist church, you'll be wondering the connection. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain? But you see, as people took over leadership, you know, some of them may feel like adjusting certain things according to their beliefs. Are you guys get what I'm trying to explain? And that's how today we have the Catholic. There's more history to the Catholic today, the word universal, even though some of them may not agree. But some of us who have done a little research, we can tell. And some of them may agree as some junction, but not entirely, I believe, especially when it gets to hit people's belief personally. So we know the Catholic, the word universal, it has a lot of history. Of course, the king in those days wanted to make peace with a certain group of people, and you know, the word universal, that's how it metamorphosed. Are we together? And except I will stop there because some people don't like those stories, but it's the truth. Are we together? So you see, you can actually trace it to Paul, all right, according to historians. But today we can't really tell that 100% of the teachings today is Paul's teachings. Not just them. Sometimes when I see people fire the Orthodox. I just smile because there are a lot of Pentecostals that are even doing worse than the Orthodox. Yeah, I believe, I tell you the truth. In fact, if I was not a preacher, I would have been comfortable for my daughter to go to an Orthodox church than to go to some Pentecostal churches. Because the beliefs are quite out of the box. Haven't you seen where they carry bed before and kill to do something for God? Haven't you seen there? Things like that. Some mix oil and something and it's all looking funny. Haven't you seen things like that? Not to condemn, just to explain something to you. So you see, why I started this is because there's been this argument of who is the first leader of the church. Are we together? Yeah, I converted one of my members who later became a pastor was like this. He was arguing with people in math computer department as a student. So I saw him, he was arguing, and he was really winning. You know, some people win not because they really won, but because people are tired of arguing with them. So they just leave them and the people feel like they won. Have you been in that kind of argument before? That you kept quiet and the person felt like he won. Because you have seen that you cannot win this human being you are talking to like this. His heart is already made up. So that was the case. And he was excited and said, nobody can try me. You know? And while he was going, I just hid him, you know? And we started greeting and talking. And I said, I heard whatever you were saying there. I said, yes. Oh, you want to argue? I said, no. I just want to ask you a question. So he said, what was the question? I said, okay. He said, who is the first? He said, he was arguing that the first pope is Peter, and the first church is the Catholic Church. So I didn't want to go so deep in it. I asked him a simple question. I said, okay, that simply means popes and priests should get married. He said, God forbid. That's why we're better than all of you in the other categories, because we don't marry. Of course, he wants to marry. He's just actually excited that the others did not. So I said, okay, that simply means you have to tell your people to start marrying too. He said, why? Peter did not marry. I said, not exactly. Let's see the Bible. So he was looking at him and I said, okay, Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law. That means Peter had a mother-in-law. And his eyes were open. He said, let me see it. He looked at it. Like the saying today, we say everywhere will first blow. So he was very shocked that Jesus actually healed Peter's mother-in-law. So Peter had mother-in-law, aka the first pope had mother-in-law. Do you understand what I'm trying to explain? So now I think we have to look for another person and factor there, because the first one has mother-in-law. So when I actually said this funny thing, I'm telling you now. I said, so I don't know who can we replace now in this thing. And he was just mute. He said, what's your name? And I told him my name. He said, I've never thought of. You know, that's how people are. Never seen that scripture in my life. I said, yeah. I know sometimes when you are blind to an understanding, even though you see the scripture, the revelation will not come to you. You may be reading of Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law. Peter, I see the first pope. Okay, Jesus healed Peter. Peter, I see the, you will not see it. Because as long as your eyes are on the wrong stuff, you are blind. The Bible says as long as their eyes are on Moses, they are veiled to seeing what? Christ. He said, but when they turn to Christ the truth, that veil is what? Lifted up. Are we together? So this was the argument. And streamlining it to what I want to share this evening, I now asked him, you know, sorry, we're in a group of, I was with a group of people, and they said, same argument in a different phase. They said, God built the church on the Pope, because they believe Peter, now, you know, I've discarded that, so this is not even supposed to be an argument now. But that God built the church on the, that means the Pope is the final authority of the church. And I said, it is not true. Firstly, we have even scattered the foundation. There is no even argument now if we truly agree on the foundation. You get what I'm trying to say now? And secondly, God did not build the church. If Peter was the Pope, for instance, God did not even build the church on Peter. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Now, do you know that was the argument that scattered, that brought about the first civil war in the church? You know, the church has never had civil war before. Are you aware? They killed people for belief system. That's why when I see that people are saying they are arguing the church is not good, they killed in the church before. See, this one now I've not reached Kidding. But I want to promise you that what is happening today is prophetic. Jesus prophesied that one time church will start arguing. He said it in his word. If this argument does not even happen, we will not even come to the knowledge of the truth. Because some sort of, if I don't truly agree with what you are saying, not because I'm a stubborn person, but because I know what you are saying is wrong, how the hell should I make you understand that it is wrong? Are you able to get what I'm trying to explain? And that's why sometimes you see, truly, for truth to prevail, the Holy Ghost sometimes will steer men to start a work. Some have actually started out of their pride. They don't agree, and what they don't agree is false. That one is more terrible. Are you able to get what I'm trying to say? But I can tell you categorically that the Holy Ghost will do that. Do you understand what I'm trying to explain to you? Very important. And so, of course, for what I said, the scripture is where Jesus said in Matthew that I'll set fire upon the face of the earth, and I wish that fire was already what? Blazing. Media tried to get that scripture for me. He said, when that fire started burning, it said parents will rise against their children, children against their fathers, fathers against their mothers, uncles against. What he's trying to say is that there will be some sort of division because peace is on the way. Are you able to get what I'm trying to say? And if you remember GST, what is the path to peace? That's how it is in the realm of the spirit. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? So we are going somewhere very powerful. That's why we are seeing these troubles right now. To a fair extent. And I tell you, it is very prophetic. Because how the hell do you imagine yourselves, for instance, to one day be killing chickens? If some people did not stand up, you would have been killing chicken in church. Do you know there was a generation? The generation is still happening today. They are still practicing it. Do you know there are some people who go to the, if for instance their church is there, they will go to the riverbank and kill a ram to Jesus. Who is the lamb? That they are killing the lamb to the lamb that has taken, that has already died. You know, like one time I was watching something, and the person was, it seems like people are predicting one kind of war at the end. One kind of serious war. End time war, called Armageddon. So I was just listening, you know, sometimes Courage in the house will play these very tough songs to pray. So I think he played one time. So I was just passing, and I heard the person speaking so tough about a final battle or something, just within the song. And one time there will be, and every other, I mean, he was making it look like God will break everybody into pieces. And of course God will do that, and he has done that. So in my heart I said, do people know that the Armageddon has already happened? There is no Armageddon again. When Jesus said it is finished, what do you think he will do again? You think there's one war that will happen, one day God will stand up and say, oh yeah, now gather all you've got. Whoosh. Micah, take that guy. Gabriel, everybody, two on two. Show everybody. It's called the Armageddon. We'll see the great God standing. Listen, you are dreaming. I hope you know God have never stood up from his throne to fight anybody. One time I was teaching some young people. They were so much in tears. I wanted to make them love God. There were all these teenagers that they haven't put their seats to smoke and drink. When they are doing this big boy, all of them, they even sag and came for the meeting. So I wanted them to cry. I was looking for something to make them cry. So as I said, very casual, like I'm preaching to you guys. So I started telling them how that Jesus loves them. I got to a point. I knew I was climbing somewhere that would bring tears. So I said to them, do you know that God is in a class of his own? They say yes. Do you know that God has never stood up to fight anybody? He can never stand up. He laughs from heaven when people try to dare his power. Show them scriptures and psalms. And they're like, wow, they're just looking at me. We have been hearing some of this thing. I say, but do you know God who has never stood up from his throne? Blah, 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 blah. I said, now join me and sing the song. One, two, go. He came from heaven to earth to show us the way. That means the first time God ever stood up from his throne to die was because of you and I. I said, I seen their eyes, started getting full. I said, who? Can your father do that for you? I said, I'm not sure. Can your mom do that for you? I'm not sure. You know, I saw one comedy recently. Now a mother and two children were holding something, they're about to fall. The two children now say, "Mommy, leave it for your children to." They say, "No, I'll not leave it to. What have you people done for me? Me too, I don't want to die." I think it was AI. So the mother said, "Everybody will die. Oh. I'm going to own it." So one of the child fell on the door. The mother now said, "Thank God I'm alive." I said, "No, that's not a real." So I said, God left his throne, came and died for you. He looked so miserable on the earth because of you and I. What he did not do when Satan interferes or anything, he did because of you. This is how much God loves you. And that's why Jesus sometimes will tell you in scripture, will he not freely, if he gave you Jesus, will he not freely, with through Jesus, give you all things? Are you guys here? Very, very true. That alone should be your reason for faith. I've never thought of a witch killing me. I can never think of a witch killing me. It has never crossed my mind since I knew Jesus that I probably will eat some food and my stomach will start going oop, 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 and I'll die. It has never crossed my mind. Now, I'm not stupid. I'll, by all means, as I can, try to protect whatever I'm going to eat. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? I will not just look at somebody and say, "Put something, let me eat and test God." Mm-mm. That's foolishness, because God can do it. I don't need to test him. Are we together? But if, for instance, there are things I am not aware of that were said for me. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? I don't believe it will affect me. That's my synesis. I don't believe it at all. Hallelujah to Jesus. Because of how powerful God is. So back to what I'm saying. The Armageddon, there is no day that Armageddon will ever happen. If you read the book of Revelation, people misinterpret it very, very well. They think everything in the book of Revelation is going to be at the end. A lot of things in the book of Revelation that have happened in the Old Testament, it's more like the back end events of the things happening throughout the lifetimes of people upon the face of the earth that was recorded in the Bible. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? So they are saying like the back end event, the things that happened behind the scene, when this thing was happening on the earth, what was happening behind the scene in the realm of the spirit? Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Because God said things like this: "Before I formed you, Jeremiah, in your mom's womb, I had known you, and I had called you to be a prophet." In other words, God should have known Elijah and those two prophets in the book of Revelation, Elijah and who? And Moses, before he sent them. That simply means they were already highlighted in the realm of the spirit. That's why in the book of Revelation, you are seeing them being emphasized at some part, not because they are going to come again. Their time has passed. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Very important. And so it makes a lot of people confused. They only read that book with the eye of the end time, eschatology mindset. No. For instance, at that point where Jesus was dead, buried, and resurrection, where the Bible said, who is able to break the scroll and open his seven seals, you think it's going to happen in the future? Of course, that was what was happening when Jesus was on the cross. Who is going to break the scroll and open the seven seals? Nobody was worthy in the heavens, blah, 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 blah. Then suddenly the Bible says an angel with a loud voice. One of my friends was trying to interpret. I don't know if I can fit it here. But he said that voice of that angel was the thunder they heard. Before Jesus said it was finished. I said, "Oh, it sounds interesting, but I don't like to put revelations like that, because I did not hear any angel and hear any thunder." Do you understand what I'm trying to say? But it sounds sweet. But some of you like tough things. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? I said it has passed. We're in glory. Are you listening to me? We're in glory. We're in the glory of God. And that's why Paul referenced the glory at some point of scripture and said, "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches." Where? If we don't have access to the glory, he will not emphasize the glory. He will reference the glory. Say, I'm in the glory. Satan will try to make sure this belief is altered in your heart. At certain junctions of trials, he will make you understand. He will give you the impression that God is a liar. But God can never lie. That should be settled in your heart. Are you listening to me? If you have come to God, you must first believe that he is. Know who he is first before you start trusting him for things. Understand his person. He is. He will sustain you through every part of faith and trial. You know, that understanding of He is what will sustain you. If you know who He is, are you listening to me? He can't lie. He's not a man that he should lie. Not a son of man that he should what? Repent, change his mind. God has not changed his mind. Are you listening to me? What have you heard about God before? The problem is you. You know, I was talking to a few people and I told them, tell me, show me the prophecy said about you by your spiritual fathers or mentors, wherever, come and show me the prophecy. And some of them are like, I've lost the book. Some of them are like, I can't remember some of the prophecies. You've forgotten all the prophecies said about you because you don't believe in God. Till today, as I'm talking to you, there are prophecies said about me by my spiritual father, some of his friends that are still in my notepad. That's why I chose iPhone. I did not choose iPhone because it's the best phone for me. I chose iPhone because I have some things I cannot lose in my notes. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Very important. Paul told Timothy, you go back, go and look for those materials. The prophecies that have been said concerning you, go and look at it, dust it, read it again. Are you listening to me? You see, when your mother even laid hands on you, what she said, because the mother was a believer. He said, when I laid hands on you, the things I said to you, go back and with them wage a good warfare. Meaning use them to fight and win in life. What did God say about me 3 years ago? Carry it. Look at your life. If it's not going well, rearrange it. Where am I? I don't even know. You may be on the air, like I said. Or in the air, like I said. Like a pilot that is, you know, flying on to another location. The only thing he uses is his what? Compass. That's how the believer is. Sometimes you wonder, where am I? Have you ever been there before? Because the way God moves with a believer, that is why the Bible says, a spirit man is like the wind that blows from the north to the south. You are the one doubting yourself. The Bible told you these things. He said, no one knoweth where you are going from or where you are coming from or where you are going to. Because you are born of the spirit. You now look at yourself and say, where am I coming from? Where am I going to? I don't tire. That's what the Bible predicted about you. He said, nobody understands where you are coming from. So people look at you and ask you, what do you want to do with your life? Now like this as you are. Let me understand. If you take a thought so much, you might ask yourself, what am I actually doing in my life? You don't take that thought because you know you're a spirit man. Now I'm not saying be useless, don't have plans. Do you get what I'm trying to say? But if you know you have plans and you've heard God, nobody should confuse you. No one knoweth where you are coming from and where you are going to. So is a man born of the Spirit. Nobody can predict you. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Like the wind, you can't be predicted. 1 minute something will change. 1 minute you can't do it. In the next moment, everything has turned around. And I tell you the truth, if your eyes are set in rubies, like my friend will say, you end in rubbish. But if your eyes are set on Jesus, that money people are looking for, you will have it more than them. Let me tell you, from when I was growing up, there are some songs I don't sing. I love the Lord, though. I love the Lord. I can't tell you the ratio to which I love the Lord. I love the Lord and I don't need to prove it to you. But I will tell you the truth. You see songs about this world will not have money and the rest. I've never seen it in my life from the beginning of my faith. That's why anytime I hear people singing songs and making it look as if there is nothing I will ever get in this world, I don't used to join them, I sing it. You see, I'm serving God and in this world I will reap all the reward of my service. But I understand that the reward of my service goes beyond this world. Yet, as I'm serving this God, I will have a lot of money to do so much for the Lord. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Somebody say, but that's not... Money is very important. God will give us resources because He has even given us. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? He understands we need to win a lot of souls. But you're not the one that will tell God, okay, God, let me win souls. There's a structure. There's a stature structure He has to see in the realm of the spirit that you would have become via your secret place. If you have truly been interfacing with God in the secret place, there's something you will look like in the realm of the spirit that will give God the surety that if I give this one money, He will not leave me. I don't know that you get what I'm trying to say. It's not you that will tell God that I will not leave you if you give me money. He knows before you say it. That is why He said, he If I have truly died for you, why are you worried about money? Will I know through Christ? See, he doesn't want to just give you money at the detriment of anything. Of Christ, sorry. He wants to give you money through Christ. So if anybody be, is a what? What is the end of the Holy Ghost in our life? The end of the ministry? To the end that we know Christ and become like Christ. You see, it is through Christ he wants to give you all things. Through you becoming like Christ. If you are not like Christ, that's what the Bible says. You've been blessed with all blessings, spiritual blessings, earthly blessings. Where is the location to receiving the blessing? Christ Jesus. In heavenly places, in Christ. It is Christ Jesus that positions you to properly receive from God. If you are not like Christ, you are not qualified to receive. So you can't say you want God to do a lot for you without you being like Christ. That's why I tell people, if you like, go in the morning. The man of God, Pastor Jerry Easy. If you like, go there in the morning and be shouting, what God cannot do cannot exist. I thank God for his life. I love what God is doing with him. But I tell you the truth, you will go there, your own will exist. If you truly don't have a heart for the Lord, if you are not seeking first what? The kingdom of God. Are you listening to me? Your own will exist. And if, for instance, you think at some point, because God's mercy is unexplainable, you can never explain it to the end. Sometimes you see God doing something for somebody that you think is stupid. And even God thinks the person is stupid. But God is doing great things for the person. You will see the person will just trust God and the thing will come, boom. But some, you know the problem? The problem is that we now misunderstand God from the things he does for us while we are still foolish. Listen to what the Bible said. The Bible said, if the ministry of condemnation was, there was a ministry of condemnation that had glory. See how God is merciful? When Moses disobeyed, water came. People felt like Moses did the right thing. He disobeyed, but water came for the people to drink. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain to you? You see the mercy of God? A ministry of condemnation, yet there's glory. I was teaching some psalmists. I said, haven't you been amazed before that you did not do the right thing, probably in the secret place where nobody was seeing you, and you took the microphone and you saw people truly crying and worship? And a few of them say, I said, the reason that happened is because God loves his people. And of course, he loves you. But God will not, because of your sins, stop what he wants to do for your people. If you've grown for a while as a minister of the gospel, you will understand this truth I'm telling you. You can never stop what God wants to do. But at the end, he will now call you aside and said, you'll be the one bringing your strong reasons. I did this in your name. Say, okay. I did that in your name. Say, okay. And he will ask you, but you were still a worker of iniquity. Now, I'm not saying this for you to cry and say, oh God, no, no, no. I want you to understand that this is a possibility in the realm of the spirit. Yet, much more Jesus has done for us. So that we will never end in this realm. We will never be at this level. We will never be hypocrites. He has done much more for us to end up like this. So like what I started by saying, sometimes you see people looking well-to-do, sounding smart. I will never do that in my lifetime. Come here to see a story of somebody's fall. There are days. I wish the Lord would share our hearts to you sometimes. So that you just see them. Listen, if you think far and deep in the realm of the spirit, in your heart, you will know there is no special award for somebody. Somebody, all right? There's no one special award for, you know, how do I put it? It's not like God will not reward your good work, but if you have this mentality that, okay, as I'm doing so like this, God will give me one special reward, special realm in heaven, or sit somewhere. If you're thinking like that, you are a child in the realm of the spirit. You are proud. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? If you are truly grown, the body, the situation of the body will bother you. You see, you don't teach truth, all right, at the detriment of people's, should I say, reputation? What I mean is, you don't teach truth to shame people. And this is it in the Bible. You are all children. When you talk like that, you don't understand God. Are you listening to me? And this is, you are still growing. If you truly have understood God, you are teaching this thing and you are very careful, because the goal is that you want the person you are teaching to accept it. Because you know this thing is what? So there's a way you are careful. That's what the Bible says. You teach the truth only in love. Love is kind. Love is what? If you are teaching, you must come to a point where you will keep no record of wrongs. I always tell young pastors, you want to teach your members and you are keeping record of wrongs. You can't teach. It is kind. It is patient. It keeps no record of wrongs. Sometimes you stand teaching people who have hurt you so much you don't even know how to explain it. But you have to forget it and teach them because you love the Lord. Are you listening to me? You see the ministry who are getting it wrong. It burdens you sincerely from your heart. Alright? It bothers you so much. And you are teaching because you want to genuinely see them change. Because you know there's no special award for you and your ministry in heaven that only you got it right. Because we are supposed to get it corporately as a body. And that's why your message will not suggest any form, all right, of disrespect. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? And I tell you, it is very powerful. It will make people believe you easily, even as a human being, as you teach the truth everywhere. You are teaching more like having a mindset of rescue mission. The reason why you are teaching is because you want to rescue your brother. You want to rescue your sister. Do you understand what I'm trying to explain? Not to shame anybody. If you don't come to that point, you have not grown in the Lord. Hallelujah to Jesus. And that is why sometimes when I hear, maybe there was a time when I probably would be like, I talk him. They know they hear what? That's why he fell. Did I not warn him? Did I not? That's children realm. When you hear about somebody's fall and somebody mistake, remember when we talk him. Hey! Now God catch him like that. That's still a young guy. You know, when you've truly grown, it will break your heart first. There are days I will be in my room because of what I heard, and I couldn't stop crying. I wouldn't stop crying. Why did it happen? I know this person loves the Lord. Like I was sharing with some leaders one time, I said, nobody who ever stood up and said, God, you've called me, I want to do your will, meant evil for his people, evil for his generation. Let me give you an instance. David misbehaved terribly at some point in his ministry. Did he? David slept with somebody who was somebody's wife who was so loyal to him as a king. That broke the heart of God. That was more like his loyalist. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? And he was in a situation where he saw her nakedness and the flesh prevailed and he slept with her. And of course, God was not excited with it. And I think there was a judgment upon him. Hallelujah to Jesus. And that was terrible. But can you remember David while he was growing and you read in the book of Psalms as a stupid person? Can you remember any point where they reference him as a useless person? Can you remember any point where they reference David as a womanizer? That while people are going for war, he was following women? Where was David all this while? In the forest, taking care of his father's what? Sheep. Doing what the father wants him to do. Fought with bears and what? Lions. Was the one who defeated the greatest enemy of Israel and made them a giant nation. Who is that? Goliath. At that young age, see all that God did with him and he now metamorphosed into becoming a king. If they ever told you that one day David will even have a place where he's sleeping with women upstairs, he has a wife, he will now call like four women and be sleeping with them at the same time, will you believe that boy will do that kind of thing? Huh? You see how some of you look gentle like this now. David probably looked more gentle than you. And if we tell you that without God, one day you come to a point that you call girls and tell your wife to excuse you, you'll be like, God forbid that, and I reject it in the name of Jesus. It's not about rejecting it. Because David grew to a point where he had a lot of money. He had a lot of influence. If you say, people will just assume that he has said something and move. He was a powerful man. And at that point, if you don't know Jesus, that power cannot be curtailed. Are you listening to me? You know, Nebuchadnezzar came to that point where he felt so powerful. Then he created a statue of himself and said people should worship him. And God wanted to humble him. And he said, I come. It was my will that you even become a human being. Talk less of becoming a king. Now let me put you in your place. Go and eat grass for a while as an animal. You see, you need to fear this God. And the guy went into the forest and was eating grass. Imagine you see your king one day, the king passed, now our king with that too. And you see soldiers protecting one pig. I'll be one good. The soldiers will be protecting it. And when he has learned his lessons, he then came back, saw himself and said, where am I? Does it paint a picture in your heart that sometimes God will allow you to come to that point that you say, oh God, where am I? So people, God will allow you to go through some tough things if you are stubborn. Tough things. I'm just adding this like Jara to you. Because you are stubborn, he will allow you to go through tough things. If you don't receive truth now, if you are not humble to receive truth, and you force your way into foolishness, God in his mercies, see what I said? Mercies will allow you to go through the thick and thin. Because he loves you. So that you come to that point where you cry and say, God. Then when you finish crying, you now start remembering. Ah, he told me. She told me. Oh, how wicked I was. He wants you to truly come to that point if you are stubborn. So that the Bible says, for holy what? Holy sorrow, right? What? Godly sorrow leadeth to repentance. He wants you to come to that godly sorrow sometimes. Like the prodigal son. You think God doesn't love him? Do you know that God can allow everything work together for the prodigal son? Why would God allow his son? His son. God himself was the one that was the... I used to call him prodigal father there now. God. I don't know what name we'll call him that will fit inside that story now. The father of the prodigal son. I think that sounds better now. Is God Almighty himself? God. I'm showing you what God did. If he did it before... Okay. Allowed somebody who said, give me my property. Say, hold on. You have access. Say, give me my property. Say, okay. God gave him his property. In other words, God allowed his will to prevail. If God cannot stop you from doing what you want, can your pastor even stop you from doing what you want? We are too small. That's how God is. He said, have it. Have your way. You know the way we sing to him, have your way, Lord. I don't understand how I feel sometimes with disrespect, God, because sometimes if you know people, especially as a pastor, and you are, they are singing, have your way, God. And you look at the people singing, they have your way. The thing used to pain you. That one must sing, have your way. With the way she's stubborn in church, in her department, have your, she will not need them. Have your way. Hey, Idima, Idima. She's singing them too. Sometimes it seems like it has become a religion. There's prayer time and worship time and word time and misbehaving time. You should be tired sometimes. You should be tired. One day just sit down and ask yourself, what did I do? How many years I be? I remember when I be 21. I don't be 25. This is how you will do be very busy with your life till you now begin to tire shape before your children's wedding one day. Arrange it all before you now say granny, now say I get business for high level, yes. I get shop where they sew clothes, yes. What else do I have? Wait till again I get. I'm married now. My two children don't marry. My business is still there. I'm still here. Where is God? But he told me years ago that I'll preach the gospel. Ha. At least I did do money devotion. You may not even be doing the money devotion in the house. Do you know that you will not be fulfilling destiny and life will just be counting and going? It will not wait for you. You heard what Apostle said that day in our talk show. He said, time is not going, you are the one going. I was watching one old Bible story movie that their college was watching. We're watching, and I saw the graphics, very old. Do you know what was just moving in my mind? There was a time these people felt like they have a long time to live. They have a long time to live. They were just enjoying. You see, the children, in fact, children, they, hi, all of them are dead today, now in the glory. Some in hell. But there was a time they felt like they have. some time to live. Do you know, when we leave this earth, there will be many, many generations of people that will keep on living in this world. Are you aware? Okay, some of you think that rapture is happening in 2 years' time. It's not today they started saying that. No, 2 years is not far again. I think, when will it finish? And in no way I'm not disrespecting anybody that have said it. Sometimes people have beliefs and they misunderstand a lot of things. But 2 years is supposed to be 2020, 28. Alright, so I don't know if we'll, because I told you people we're going to have a service that day. More like an all night. Like my role model did. And the next morning we'll say we just survived another rapture. Hallelujah to Jesus. We're going to live a lot of years. Alright, of course we will live. And after us, there will be a lot of people in this world. Your generation that you can't even, you'll just be seeing them from heaven. To the 100th generation, you'll be like, eh? This one, this 50th grand, great grand boy, this boy is stubborn. When you, I was stubborn like that. You'll be seeing him from heaven. That is if you make it to heaven. You know, you want us to lie to you because we love you now. We should tell you that everybody will go to heaven. Say, my guy, now my guy, you could make her. One love, you could make her. Eh. Be real, oh. My guy. The way they listen to whiskey like this, you don't go heaven, no? You know, some people say, Pastor, why do you shade whiskey? I'm not shading whiskey. But you can't be hearing song of bad smoking and women. The tea is not in heaven. Heaven is not for you. Do you understand? Because in heaven, there's no party, party after party, after party, after party. In heaven, there is no Dorime. You know, some people are trying to create their own heaven. I don't think some Christians will enjoy heaven. Because there are some churches now that they are doing what they call this hype man. Jesus. So it's more like holy party and unholy party. Since we can't make it to the club, bring the club to the church. Pastor, we get 2 wins. Hey, Pastor, 100 billion naira, Pastor. Pastor, shake body. Pastor, shake body. Pastor, shake. Have you not seen it? They sing one little song, we bring our own version. We get Jesus. We get Holy Ghost. We got Sabi pray. We be God material. Such a shame. If worldliness is hungering you, go and be worldly. Some people think there's a way music must be. Music must be scattered. Music must be like this. Like Don Jazzy or Whiskey's kind of music. They want to sing gospel song now. Before song come, they already doing like this. If the thing is hungering you, go let them sign you. You have to make these people understand this. Who told you that music must be like that? They'll be forcing different category of music to the church. And there is no way you copy the kind of music without the kind of lifestyle. Afanamuzu. Afanamuzu Gaskia. Be allowing people to lie for you people. You now are singing like the people you are claiming you are singing like. Okay, carry the music without the spirit. Let's see now. Now every gospel artist now, cloth that we used to bought into this point. Everybody now is there. You see, you know, Satan can creep. He will just creep small and say, no, leave and a light sin be that. Now, if you observe, most young boys now, they will wear V-neck and put chain. The way they are doing it in the world. Before you know now, they are plaiting small and putting small earring. It will be very small first. Before you know, they now say, we are tired of pretending and put it. There's a generation that will serve God with earrings. I see in the spirit a generation causing revival with crazy jeans. I don't know if they call it crazy jeans because with ripped jeans. The Lord is raising a crazy generation that will wear crazy jeans. With our crazy jeans and crazy cloth, we will carry the Bible and preaching a crazy gospel. Somebody needs to tell them to keep quiet. one time, one some person is a God say you should go into the club and go and minister. What took you to the club? You know, there are some nonsense people say. I'll be wondering, the person interviewing you, what is wrong with you guys? What is the meaning of that? Say, I know my calling is in the club. Watch and see that kind of human being. They will end up owning a club. I'm telling you the truth. If they don't repent, you will think we're lying. Some of you think we're do I look like somebody that don't have business? I will sit down and just be looking for people and talking about them. God forbid, Batty. I don't have that time. But should we look at lies and keep quiet? I'm a prophet, oh. I don't sell ice cream. I must be brutal. If you don't like me, it's your cup of tea. Do you know me before? She's not in this church, you're not saying knowing me. So why should I make you like me? I don't even know why anybody likes me. Why do people like me? Just hear the gospel. That's our business. And sometimes I'm just... Sometimes my wife will bring that in. I'll say, Mama T, she knows. I'll say, Mama T, please go to school. I can't even start the discussion. Where will I start from? Because how did he think he even come in the first place? Pastor Simon, come and say this, Mama T, go. Please, go. So one day our children will wake up and hear that Colin can enter club. That they invited me to the club. I didn't want to go, but the Holy Spirit said I should go. Which Holy Spirit? When they come out from the club, they will hear the gospel. The Bible says, avoid. God cannot give two directions. He says, avoid all what? Of evil. The God that said this cannot tell you that. Wait till they do for club. If you go to club now, people will misunderstand God because of you, your action. Imagine you wake up one midnight, you see me coming out from the club. Then I'm praying in tongues. Hey, pastor, see me come to pray in tongues when you don't finish. This pastor gets sense. So you want why? Who? My mind tell me, say this pastor no pure. You see, all the things you are suspecting. Or, a very simple one. Or, you just come to my house now. Alright? Imagine... while I was single, for instance, a lady just comes out from my house. Alright? And some of you are my neighbors. You just woke up one morning and you see a lady coming out from my house. Do you know nothing actually happened between me and God? Nothing happened. She just slept because she was passing and her house was too far. And she slept by that side. I was there praying in tongues. And she was there sleeping at you. I was like, when they finished everything, I said, you can go. And I felt justified before God because I did not even go close. I didn't even know anything. The Lord knew. The Lord knows. Then you now wake up as my neighbors, some of you. You now see sister Susan so coming out from my house. You know the way Satan does it? One of my superiors was telling me one time. He said, Satan knows how to do it. When she's now coming out, she will now do like this. I'm quoting him. She's now arranging herself. She's not going. Then you are there peeping from your window. Come see, come see, come see, come see, come see. Hey! Every man a man. Man no be God, oh, come see something. Here. I took and said, this Pastor Simon, there's something somewhere. You know, if it is possible, say nothing, no, they don't know anything. Today we don't know. Here. I don't follow you go to that church again. Even people that have girls in their house will peep and say, I'm not going to that church again. They will not go. Even sinners will reject you as a man of God. Do you know that? Those you have even counseled when they are falling, you help them stand. They say, Pastor, I felt disappointed when I saw you. I don't think you can be my pastor anymore. Now, I may not stand before God and say, God, they are talking against me. You know my heart. Said them, just forgive them, for they don't know what they do. Let them crucify me. Eli, Eli, Nabal, Sabal. Do you know? I'm like a comedian in the realm of the spirit. The way you laugh, that's how Micah and Gabriel will probably laugh. This guy, yeah, yeah. You know, because the Bible said he will give you a tongue and a wisdom that your enemies will not gain a say. If your enemy catch you in that kind of situation, those that have been predicting that I'm not a real man of God, some pastors for instance, they now see me, they will do video and they tell something, they don't come here, evidence choke. Hey, you see them, the thing will spread everywhere. That is why my spiritual father told me, he said, Simon, I said, as you are going to be, I said, yes sir. He said, no girl should cook for you, yes sir. No girl should come to your house, yes sir. These things are my laws, oh. They were in my jota. Pastor Ed was the one that went and threw it. I did not send him. He carried the jota. Say he was arranging. Where is my jota? I've been asking you for many years now. He said he was doing arrangement in the house. See, today, my spiritual father's writing is in that jota. And it's on your head. He doesn't know where he kept it. I kept my thing. You know these people now, you arrange things, will come and scatter it. That they are rearranging it. Have you been there before? The way I kept it, leave it like that. I know where that other paper, I know what that paper means to me. Where was one paper that was here? Sir, it was paper, so I squeezed them out. You born with it. You don't burn my BVN. I made these words my laws. Some people called me proud. Their pastor, am I here? You can ask them. They say that pastor, that proud pastor, does not allow girls to come to his house. You want to come and see me? Who are you? My name is so. What do you want to come and see me for? Sir, can I come to the house and explain it? You can't come to my house, ma. Meet me in school. Some will not come again because they have useless intentions. Meet me in school at so-so park. If you have ever seen a lady in BSU, where would you see me? Union Park? SU Park? Is it Union Park they call it? SU Park? Whatsoever park, biology park, you see me sitting there giving counseling. Whatever you cannot say there, you will never say. That was my law. And that's why, as I'm raising my voice, if I ever hear you went and sleep in your sister's house, you see what I said, sister. Not blood sister, sister in the faith. So I was in my sister's in the faith house, and I slept by the northeast, she slept by the southwest. And in the night, we now did small Bible study. We listened to someone. We explained to ourselves what the Bible say, what you taught, sir, on holy surrender. Surrender you that deal. It's wrong. If you doubt this instruction, it's because you are yet a child in your mind. Are we together? I love things. It's not because you will fail. Listen carefully. It's not because you fail. It's because somebody will get it wrong and fail. If, for instance, I know I can't fail and people come to my house, I'm not sure this can work for everybody. Are you listening to me? I'm not sure. So take, for instance, now people are watching me, their spiritual father, allowing girls come to my house. You don't try to do that. And you probably... Of course, if I'm strong, I'm not even supposed to do that. So that kind of scenario does not even work. Are you here tonight? But this is the point I'm trying to make before I continue. Sometimes we have heard people who we love. Listen, even people I started with personally, I've heard them feel God in one or two ways. It's so sad. Sometime back, I was making a call, and my dear wife overheard me talking to a dear friend. And she heard some things. She said, Jesus Christ, you don't call the name. Jesus Christ. I said, please excuse us. I said, Pastor Simon, I'm waiting for you. She didn't want to go. And I didn't want her to hear some of those things. I sincerely did not want her to hear. So he was sharing me what has happened. And, you know, and I was like, really? So I was even talking under my breath. This person too. Oh my God. say, "Ah, man of God, oh, this, that. The thing is real, oh. It's real, blah, blah. Now, this, and she opened the door. She was actually coming for something else when she now overheard me. You know, I just referenced the name. So, and I said to my friend, I said, sometimes when we say these things, it seems like we're over speaking. Many years ago, the Lord told me to delete certain songs. I deleted songs before. He said I should delete certain messages from my phone. Whatever I'm saying, it should not be your law. I'm very confident in the Holy Ghost. I've never forced anybody to believe what I teach. You have the liberty to go and vet whatever I teach. If you choose to believe it, yeah, believe it. If you don't, it's cool. Are we together? So years ago, the Holy Ghost told me to delete certain messages. They sounded tough, but they were not producing righteousness in my life. They were not. It's more like it will set me on fire for a moment. For a moment, I want to take over the world. I will shout. And after 2 days, 3 days, I'll just feel cold and dry. And I started getting tired with the faith. Real life story. I was like, I want something real. If I should go and be a bad boy, let me be a bad boy. If I want to serve God, I should serve God. You know? So I was really tired. And I began to sing a song on Knowing the Lord with my keyboard. I used to know how to play keyboard, small those days. And while I was singing out the song, crying and praying, I heard the Lord with a light flash in my front. He said, "Understand Christ." I said, "Christ? I've been hearing Jesus Christ every time. Anywhere I go, I hear Jesus. In Jesus Christ's name we pray." I used to hear it. What is Christ? What is it about Christ? But because I saw a light pass me, literally, I knew that the Lord was saying something very important. So I wrote the word Christ. In fact, I heard that word. I don't know if this is Latin, Christos. But that's how I heard it. So I began to study, what is it about the Christ? And this is how this revelation began to unravel to me. The first one was Matthew 16:16-18. "Thou art Peter. Upon this rock, I will build my church. Who do men say that I am?" So I started asking myself, why will Jesus ask people who he is? Maybe they know him as Jesus. So why is Jesus saying, "Who am I?" That means all to Jesus will be limited to you if all you are seeing is Jesus. His physical name and his physical personality. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? And that's what the Bible said in 2 Corinthians 5 and 16, that we should no longer know Jesus in the flesh, but Jesus where? In the spirit. Alright? So that is how he started. But what hit me the most was the fact that the Bible said, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gate," that hits me so much, "of hell will not prevail against us." I said, that upon this rock he will build his church, and the gate of hell will not prevail. You know, I was talking about Peter. Alright, before I got here, I was now, what kind of understanding is this? Alright, so I started doing a study. What is the meaning of gate here? Just, I didn't even understand Greek that time. What is the meaning of gate? And that's when I now understood that the strength of a city in those days is determined by what? Her gate. Are we together? So that simply means the whole strength of hell will not prevail against a believer standing on Christ. And that got me baffled. What is really Christ? That if I'm standing on, everything Satan is doing will not still prevail against me. What is that factor? Who is this Christ? And God now called Peter. I said it until today, I believe it, that Peter was made the head of the church chiefly because he knew Christ. I always say it everywhere, and I believe it 70%. I believe there are other factors, but I believe more importantly is because he knew Christ. He said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." He said, "Upon this rock, I'll build my church." And some people say that the first civil war, right? Some people say it is Peter. Some people say it is the rock. And I have this conclusion. I don't believe it is Peter alone and the rock alone. Yeah, I don't believe. Because when you say it's Peter alone, the Orthodox now say, okay, that means the Pope is the final authority. Firstly, we have agreed that the Pope, if the Pope is Peter, then Pope should marry because Peter married. So that's not even an argument. Alright? But more importantly, God did not build the church on a man, on just Peter. Now, let's remember the scripture. As we behold the glory of as in a mirror, we have been what? Transformed. As a man thinketh, to God, information is as powerful as who you are already. I don't know what I'm trying to say. For Peter to understand that Jesus is the Christ, that was enough for God. He said, you know that I am the Christ? You've unraveled me? Okay, since you have unraveled me, I understand as God that as a man thinketh, so is he. So God built the church on Peter and the revelation intertwined together as one. He understands that right now that Peter understands Christ, Peter is as strong as the revelation. Oh my God. Imagine that you are clipped to a rock and they are trying to hit the rock to fall down. As long as that rock is not falling, you are as powerful as a rock. Your sustenance on that rock is as powerful as the ability of that rock. I don't know whether you get what I'm trying to explain. If you are seated on a rock and they are trying to hit the rock, somebody is trying to push the rock, will that rock fall? Will you on the rock fall? As long as the rock cannot be affected, you cannot be affected. As long as Peter is one with the rock, nothing can happen to Peter. Upon this rock, I will build, and the gate of hell shall not, they that trust in the Lord shall be as what? That can never, we are not Mount Zion, but where are we? On Mount Zion, and like Mount Zion, we can never be shaken. The wise builder dugs the ground to build his house where? So that when the flood of life comes and hit him vehemently, he will not fall because he is planted where? On the rock. You see that? It is not because you don't want to sin that you will not want to sin. That you will not sin, I mean. It is because you are on the rock that you will not sin. You may have good intention. Lord, I don't want to sin. If you are not on the rock, you will still sin. Have you seen people with good intention sin? Paul was there. He taught us in Romans 7. He said, the things I don't want to do while I was living by the law, I found myself doing them. Meaning Paul wore white and white. Preach against sin. I was sinning in those. So, instead of calling it law, that it is because of law that Paul was believing law that is sin, just substitute law for wrong understanding. As long as you are standing on wrong understanding, a wrong revelation of God's word, do you understand what I'm trying to say? What is not given to make people stand as the righteous, any form of lie, any form of wrong revelation, what will happen? Matthew 15 will be fulfilled. In vain they worship me because they are taking or assuming as doctrine the word, mere teachings of men. You see that? Worship will be in vain because you'll be doing something different and preaching something different. You see that? So he said to Timothy, you really love your life? Timothy said yes. And the people that hear you, he said yes. He said, okay, make sure that what you believe is actually the truth. Be careful the things you believe. If you truly love your life and the people that hear you, Timothy. That's 2 Timothy what? 1 Timothy what? Sorry. 4:16. 2 Timothy 4:16, I mean. If you truly love your life, Timothy. You love your life, Timothy. You love the people that hear you. Make sure you teach the truth. Imagine that if you pull a trigger, it will kill you. And you are holding the gun like this. You want to pull the trigger. Should I, because I am scared of how you will feel, tell you that you should pull the trigger and nothing will happen to you? What if it seems like I'm fighting you when you are trying to pull the trigger like that? What if I'm shouting? How would you think? Am I a bad person? If you are trying to pull the trigger towards yourself and I'm angry towards you, I'm trying to force you not to pull it, am I a bad person? Who ever think I'm a bad person? But what if you don't know the meaning of a trigger and a gun and I'm shouting at you? What would you think? You think I'm moving over Sabi. Now that's how it is with pastoring most times. That you can see what has the potency to destroy somebody and you are trying to help the person and the person may think you are a bad person. I know I've been misunderstood many times as a pastor. Because you tell somebody, don't do like this. The person says, he's overdoing it. As if we don't even have work. Like I would just come and gather people and start, because I'm looking for controlling power. If you really look, take a good look at me, you know me and control are far away from each other. If I have my way, I'll run away from controlling people. God know my heart. Don't allow him tell you this evening. If God tell you my heart, you will not even believe it. In my heart, where I used to be before God will bring the heart back, you will not believe it. I remember those days before my wife came into the picture. You know, my wife really encourages me in ministry very well. She's a strong woman. I'll just sit down and be dreaming. I'll not remember I'm a pastor. So one day I want to do tech. I'll be competing with Elon Musk. I want to do something that will make him call me for an interview and say, So, you know, just sit down, we're talking. Well, you see, in the next 26 years, money will not matter. Because everything, they will be arguing. Yeah, yeah, then we'll now be, two of us will be partners. We're talking and, you know, a lot of things will not really matter. You know, just a simple life. Cool guy somewhere in the island, somewhere very far. If you see it, you'll be like, I don't believe this. Unbelievable. Then the Lord will now put, then you now come sometimes and you see people wondering. Hallelujah to Jesus. What is really happening? You know, that's what happens when you pastor people. He said, all scripture are given for what? Teaching, for doctrine, sorry, for what? For what? You forgot things? 2 Timothy 3:6. All scripture are given for 3:16, sorry. Are given for what? Doctrine, for what? Correction, reproof, instructions in righteousness. Meaning the pastor uses the word of God to first give you doctrine. And it doesn't end at doctrine. It metamorphoses to what? To what? And it goes to what? And it goes to what? Doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, until the man of God is what? Thoroughly furnished for every good work. Meaning we grow beyond what? Doctrine to what? Reproof. We go beyond reproof to what? Correction. In other words, at a certain point, God knows you'll be foolish. And he said, I will lead you to what? Correct them. What if you think you are not being foolish when we say you are being foolish? You know, you just have to believe that you are being foolish at some point. Because a proud man never believes he's proud. Say you are proud of me. Ask her now. Me, pride. Me and pride, we are far. We are very far. Those are when we are growing. How we know we are getting proud is when our spiritual father calls us by our title. The prophet Simon. Just, sir, I'm so sorry. Why are you needing that? Are you not a prophet? Sir, I'm so sorry. You see her heart beating so fast. I don't know what is happening in this generation, though. In fact, some spiritual son will say, you did not call me by my title, sir. I'm an apostle. Apostle. You called me a professor. That's not genuine. You are disrespecting my grace to the public. You know, many years ago I had an experience. There was this all night I went to way back in Mando. So there was this guy. Whenever we come around, they just follow us, young boys. They follow us around. They want just one revelation or one prophetic word. Those days, many years ago. And so one day, I saw that he attended a school of ministry somewhere. And I don't think he really followed that part of that person because I believe the person is so genuine. So he now started these prophetic things. You know, I saw that he removed his shoe outside. And so as I stepped my leg outside from a car, you know, this is what will happen. Just write your country and what you want the Lord to do for you. I now called his name. I now called one of my friends. I said, when did this our boy started doing this thing in that part of the earth? The part of, say, my brother, this one, nobody if he talked to him again. So one day he now said, 99% of men of God, he now said something wrong about them. I said, 99%, equal Allah. You know, when I hear people say 90% of, I feel they are indisciplined people. What are you trying to prove with 90%? God is losing. 90%. We better be very careful. He told Elijah, there are many who have not bowed to Baal. I say 90% are losing. So I now message him. I said, how did you know the 99%? I called him by his name. I said, Zuzu person. I said, how did you do the 99%? If I tell the name of a person, some of you will be shocked. I used to see his b-board. When I entered Boko, I used to see he used to do crusades. Some of you don't know that this was carrying our Bible this that year. So, when I told him the thing, he now said, man of God, with all due respect, just know that disrespect wants to come. My name is not so and so. My name is Apostle. So and so. And I wrote Ikon Allah to him. Facebook. Yazuka Zama Apostle. He did not answer for a while. He now shared the flyer to me. I should see it well. He was going to, was it Zambia, for a meeting, a prophetic something. I just forwarded it to my friends. We have one group like that. I said prayer for this guy. One of my friends said he is not in that rubbish room. That he should do whatever he wants to do with his life. He has a lot of things to pray about. I'll never forget. But I said, let's start praying for this guy. Something is wrong. Then you now go online. He said, if you just mention your name, I tell you your problem. I said, okay, problem is coming. Before we know, we heard that he went and planted charm somewhere. Somebody confessed, you know, they went and dug. You know those Nollywood this thing. As I'm seeing you, I'm seeing one charm planted at the back of your house. It's a calabash. Go and dig it. Do not remove it. Hey, hey, hey. You know those story lines and the rest. And all of those things, even the dead that came back to life, he now confessed. All of those things. The most interesting thing is that he's still traveling to different African countries. Yeah, they'll come and do like they have repented and still go back to it. But I'm not trying to shade him now. The point is this. It would have been avoided if they listened. Like I started with David. Very nice guy. Killed Goliath. Anytime I talk about what David did, all of you will forget that he killed Goliath. Everybody will forget. That's how powerful spoiling your name can be. I heard it from Blessed Miles Morrow. I got so emotional that day. Because I know what that thing has cost many people. And will cost many if they don't listen. He said, oh great man. He was in a conference of ministers. He said, oh great man, what is that one thing that if we all know about, we will not consider you great again? He said, kill it before it kills you. And I'm asking again in this assembly this evening, what is that one thing that if we all know about, we will all be disappointed about your greatness and will not call you great again? He said, kill it before it what? Kills you. Many people, that's how their fire just went away. Their influence just went away because of one terrible thing that Satan caused them to do. Not because God is not powerful, but they don't want to be humble to receive the truth of the gospel. I tell you, I grew up in a place where they mocked me with this name called Grace and Cross Preacher. It was mockery. Using grace and cross to mock somebody, I will never forget. Oh, Grace and Cross Preacher. And they laugh. I'm not trying to brag. I can't see any of them in ministry today. It is one bad story to another. One bad story to another. I am still preaching. Because the Bible said, if this gospel seems like foolishness, it is foolishness to them that what? Perish. This is what Paul said he wants to hear in an assembly. What people think is foolish. They don't see it as tough and powerful. We are tired. It is not a good thing to be hearing bad news about people. Somebody you grew up knowing has blessed you. All of a sudden, whew. You know what he's doing to a generation that is rising? You will think they are good. You are growing as a psalmist. You now hear that one psalmist you look up to is sleeping with women, but looks good on stage. You may say, hey, that's terrible. It has painted something in your heart. It has stirred a wrong possibility on your inside. Before you know, when weakness just knocks on the door, you may easily fall a prey to it because somebody up there who you looked up to did it. That's the damage these things can cause. It will not look like, you will not say it with your mouth. It will register in your unconsciousness. In your consciousness, I mean. Deep down. That's a sad reality. Young preachers growing up to hear terrible things. As long as you don't understand what Jesus has done for you, the potency to fall a prey to the devil is very high. But we tell the generation to watch out for the right revelation before emphasizing the gymnastic of prayer. They think we are just stopping them from prayer. I met people like that who misunderstood me. Until probably they came when we were praying. And they got tired of praying. Not to brag. When we tell them we grew in these things and understood better, they think we are useless. And sometimes people agree. Why do you think you first agreed to that before you now came to terms with this reality? of really wanting the truth, it is easier to believe anything gymnastic. It is easier. When people are shouting, it is easier. It is easier to think that's what is working until you try it out. Am I against prayer and the gymnastics involved? No. I am a praying person. I love prayer. Nobody in this world can convince me outside prayer. No teaching of grace can ever stop me from praying. I can never grow to that point where I don't pray. I have not seen that revelation. In fact, if it is revelation, let's not have a discussion. I'm not having it. I've told you several times. For manifestation to happen, for the healing of the sick, for righteousness works, righteousness in you and righteous works in your body, there is a common denominator that causes that to become a reality. What is that? Prayer. It can never change. It facilitates the word of God to becoming a reality in your life. But if you want to emphasize the gymnastic, get what I said, gymnastic of prayer beyond the real coming of prayer itself, you come to a point that you think you are climbing a ladder, only for you to just open your eye one day and see that you are not anywhere. You are not climbing. That's why sometimes when I look at some people saying they have failed God, you know, I was counseling a young man. He started crying and rolling on that he failed God. He failed God. I said, you failed God how? He said, he knows how the height he has climbed, he has ascended, and now see where he has fallen to. I said, brother, you are the one thinking you are ascended. You did not ascend. If you truly ascended, you would not be on the ground again. And it's the truth. If we are truly seated together with Christ, what are we doing on the ground? You ascended, not in Christ. You ascended to the realm of the immortals. That's what they've replaced with the teaching of Christ now. When you say Christ, you are in a minion. Christ is for everybody, it's for the general public. If anybody be in Christ, that's a realm for the mortals. But when you want to travel into eternity and come to where things matter, where decisions are made in the spirit, see now, these are the things I would have been saying. Some kind of apostles would have been coming here to see it. Some young apostles who want to grow. So, there's another apostle there. You know, one time I was teaching on campus those days. One guy, man of God, there's an apostolic mantle on your life. I said, yeah, anywhere I go, I can start the work for God. That's an apostolic covering. He said, no, that's what I mean. You are not a professor. You are an apostle. All these apostles, you are better than them. I said, listen. He looked at me straight into my eyes. I said, listen, I don't know. Did you ask anybody before talking to me? He said, no, sir. I just felt like I can share what the spirit is. I said, the spirit of God does not lead people to talk to me like this. All right? I'm a prophet. I hear God. All right? And it is disrespectful for you to stand up in a place you know nobody. I always used to correct people like that. I come and be telling somebody, Holy Spirit, my calling, you sit here in 5 minutes and you know my calling more than me. Are you okay? He just became humble. I said, think about it. You've been here for just less than an hour. And you know my whole calling. I changed it for the guy. I said, I've been growing in God for many years just to come and discover after 15 minutes that I'm not a prophet. What is wrong with you? Why the indiscipline? Like one that came to my wife and said she traveled, she would die. I live with my wife every day. Maybe because her beauty has finished me, I don't know how to see again. I don't even know. She walks passing me every day. Then I now miss the Holy Ghost word for my wife. He said he knew my wife was going to travel. He now sent a word that if you travel, you will die by an accident. He sent it as a test message to my wife. My wife now showed me. Oh my God. I did not think it in the realm of the spirit. You know, some people now say, God, is that a reality? I did not ask God. There is no way. I did not offend God in any way. Me and God, I know that we are still good. We are still, at least I know everything is okay. Even if I'm married and anything happens, it's on the parameters of my... I don't even know what I'm talking about. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? The Lord give you a special understanding. And I said, God cannot do this to me. And I told my wife, I said, listen, when did you say... He said, I should leave it one day and travel. I said, okay, that's the day accident would come. Alright, if there will ever be an accident. When are you supposed to travel? I will take you to the park. You will move. I said, okay, sir. Because she trusts me very well. Took her to the car. When she moved, I said, immediately we get inside your house, call me. Yes, I said, you are in your house. I said, blessings. I just ended the call. No, it has finished. Some people like to see when they are not supposed to see. Indisciplined Christians. They'll just sit there in a place as their eyes will be open. Unnecessary openness. You know, you have to discipline people. It's the truth. You'll be surprised if we don't have this understanding. The kind of angels people will be seeing in my meetings. It's not because there are no angels here. Angels that Moses was tired. He see finish. Say, God, show me your face. I'm tired of seeing these guys. Show me your face. You'll be like Moses. Saw. Moses want to get to that realm where Moses interfaces angels. Because you now, you are wondering why anything good will come out from Ikpayongo or away street. As you go in high level on a car, why will you did not even climb mountain. You did not even see burning bush burning. In fact, there's just forest around you, but there is nothing. There are not even cattle that you move with cattle before you see burning bush. Who was Pharaoh? You never were in Pharaoh's house. You don't. So how will you even? That's how some people see themselves. They look down themselves too much. The way God is strong in this generation, I hear people talk like that. God, the way God was strong with our fathers is not strong. You know, sometimes you just need to meditate and think. God is doing wonderful things in this generation. Look at the healing testimony, the manifestation of the Spirit. If they were recorded, that's how the people would say, let's go back to Bible days. You can call this thing Bible days. It's because we don't think. See, finish can easily, as long as it's somebody you can relate with and say, how far, my guy? You don't see anything genuine happening in that person's life. Some of you have friends who have touched things in God that if you really meditate upon it, you say, wow. But when they tell you, say, so when you will come for that, this thing, you don't even think about it. Because they are your friends. It is when you watch it on TV, you say, ash. But your friends have explored some of these things. And you are not humble enough to receive. You want to go and receive TV. Oh, now TV anointing this week. And the way God would deal with you is that if you will not be humble to receive from a friend, that TV you will die there. That's why if you like, kneel down, let Benihim lift hands. What God have done around you, you cannot receive from a distance. If he has done it around you, that's where you must receive it. Many people don't understand this thing in the realm of the Spirit. They learn it when they are old already. I told you a call somebody made to me. I think one of those Tuesdays. See, sometimes we are looking for something far when God has been doing it around for a long time. There are many things God is doing around you that is not because that you don't even admire. But because they package some and put it on TV, on Facebook, sponsor it ads, you are like, whoosh, a lot is happening here. A lot is happening where you are too. A lot. It's TV you want to hear. So sometimes because of familiarity, you will not receive. So don't think God will do for you. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? What you don't receive within. You want to watch from a distance and receive. It doesn't work like that. Alright, so I wanted to say something about what your friends said. Okay, I think I'm getting what people are saying now. Hallelujah to Jesus. So he said, someone, not a friend, a member in the church, he said, he was in a vision and he was seated amidst some major apostles in the nation and they were saying some things and he was writing. So he was so surprised that when they were done and he began to speak, they now started looking for their notes to write. So when he woke up from the vision, his friend now told him to tell his pastor. So he had to come and tell me. And I said to him, straight, I did not hide the meaning of the vision to him. I said, a lot of times, what is so easy to touch, easily available, has a potency to be looked down upon. I said, what you hear, in all humility, a lot of people when they hear it, their minds will be blown. And that's exactly what God was showing you there. That you have what it takes for people to bow to the obedience of the Lord, of the Lord, when you share it. And he was amazed. Because afterwards, in the vision, he said he left the church out of stubbornness in his department and he was crying, you know, to come back because Pastor Ed, when he was trying to touch me, he said Pastor Ed hit his hand and things like that. So I said, did you see what came after that vision? to show you that you are going to misbehave. So watch out not to misbehave. And I was sharing with him, I said, oxygen is everywhere. Huh? Now, if I say, what do you need here? I am not exaggerating. Nobody will tell me more oxygen for tomorrow. Nobody in this place will say, oxygen for tomorrow. If I ask you what you need, will anybody here tell me, would you have said more oxygen tomorrow? What is more important than oxygen? Can you call anything that is more important than oxygen? Apart from God? $1 billion? So that you buy oxygen and be breathing? There is nothing as important as oxygen outside God. Yet nobody has ever stand up and say, Father, I thank you this morning for oxygen. Nobody. When last does anybody pray and say, Father, thank you for oxygen? That's how it is in life. What is most available a lot of times gets looked down upon. And that's why certain men of God sometimes they want to be far from people, because if you are not far from people, they will naturally just begin to disregard the grace of God. It happens. Most men of God always want trained people around them, not people who are not trained. Because they can start growing in foolishness and it will rub on other people. Do you get what I'm trying to say? And it's not pride. They have their reasons, and I'm explaining the reasons to you. And that's why some of them have protocols around. Because if anything just happens, people will not respect the one that is called. Are we together? So it happens. Don't look down on the grace of God within your house, within yourself. Sometimes you don't know what God is doing until you get to that point of regret. You get to that point of regret. When a season that I sense so strong, Satan is just doing jagbala, jagbala. Jagbala, jagbala things. Just sharing stupid ideas in the hearts of people. You see somebody just stand up and want to be stupid. Hallelujah to Jesus. You know, some of you don't know the weight of your calling. You know, one time my mother was telling me the stories that surrounded my bed. And when she was telling me, the truth is that I was really surprised. I never knew things like that happened when they were giving birth to me. I was really astonished. I have so many testimonies I can share as a proof that I knew that God called me to preach the gospel. But that one really made me very surprised. Now, when she gave birth, when she was carrying me as a child in her stomach, that in the night when my father is in another state, because he's a military man, so he travels to different states, she's the only one in the house, that they'll come and cut her fingernails and arrange her bed, arrange the bed, and arrange her legs, you know, the nails, just do her pedicure, whatever, arrange her nails very well. She'll stand up so scared, stand up feeling worried, but not scared. It kept on happening. She wanted to give birth so smooth, everything so smooth, and so she told my dad, there's something about, so it was when we're talking about the call of God. One time we're just in the house with my wife. So my wife was expressing some dismay with some happenings, you know, that happened in church and one or two things. And my mother, I don't know what inspired my mother. Instead of my mother to console and say, she did not say, don't worry. She did not say anything. She just said, as you are saying this thing, I just remembered something. I remember when I wanted to give birth to you. I remember, that's the only thing God inspired my mother to say. And when she was saying it, I could sense the fire of God rising in my heart. I just stood up, I went to the bedroom. I said, Lord, thank you for inspiring these words from my heart. Nobody knew what happened to me that evening. That we are telling you one story, the only thing you remember is what the hell happened when you were about to give birth to me. And she said at the end, she said, when you started all of these things, nothing surprised me. She did not talk about the things we spoke about. Nothing else. When I just saw that you are doing these things, my heart told me, but I just remembered. When I remember, I just told myself, we can't stop this boy. We can't stop him. It is very obvious. And with the happenings, then you come and you try to present this thing to a generation. You think Satan will just allow it to be easy? If you think it's easy, God has called some of you. If you think he has called you, go and dare to bring this call into manifestation. Go to an assembly. Go to a distant place. Go and sit down there and start something for God. And see what happens. The gate of hell will be released. The Bible did not say they will not be released. It said they will not prevail. It will be released. You think it's only from outside? Satan will steer distractions from within. He dared Jesus. Talk less of me. He dared Jesus. Judas arose. It started with Peter. But thank God for the heart of Jesus. Then Judas arose. Even from a people that God himself was their pastor. Then you think your mind is so sound that Satan cannot penetrate through your mind and try to distract what God is doing. That's why I love that you need to advise church people, be careful. Are you listening to me? Be very careful. Whenever wrong things are discussed that can alter the work of God, run away from there. Do you know why I am who I am today? I owe it to God ultimately, but I always tell people, because I learned to listen. I was not the wisest. Go and ask some of my friends. You need to hear some of my friends talk. In fact, sometimes when I hear one of my friends, like those days, when he begins to talk, I get immediately humbled. The way he breaks the scripture. I didn't have any clue that I could ever explain the word of God like that. I didn't even know why my spiritual father liked calling me and using me. I did not know why I had to even prophesy. When be a prophet, he would say, come, take the mic. I didn't even know why I was doing all of those things. I was not the best. If you want God to use you, it even goes beyond, I know this one. The Bible says knowledge proves up. Knowledge. When you know God, it is different from regular knowledge. Are you listening to me? One of the things I'm led this evening to hit in your heart, the fact to hit in your heart, is the fact that, listen, no matter how you claim you are hearing God one-on-one, you have a higher potential to make mistake in your dealings with God. And that's why he said he has raised the fivefold to curtail you and perfect you as the saint for the work of the ministry. I don't know how any other grace preacher may want to teach this to you, but I'm telling you from the depths, from a depth of understanding, I know what I'm telling you. While we're growing up, we think we knew it all. We thought. At some point, I want to lie to you that I never had tendencies to think I knew it and my spiritual father did not know. Who the hell am I? There were points I felt like I would have gone ahead with my decision, especially as regards relationship. I remember when he told me to break out and never think about it again. And I remember the way my heart was pumping for that lady. I felt like he has missed it this time, because this level of love, it has to be spiritual. But the only thing that helped me was the fact that I have to listen. I had to listen. I knew that it was a law. Anytime I say sorry, it looks like a film. I blocked her from to go. Immediately he spoke to me about her. We met sometimes 3 years ago in Abuja. She's so sound in the things of God. The first thing I told her, I said, imagine that we dated. You would have not even been a woman of God probably. I would have not been a man of God. Maybe would have destroyed her destiny. But thank God for my spiritual father. Who saw ahead? Are you listening to me? She's doing so well now. She's an elder in our church. I'm a pastor of this church. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Doing great things for God. That time I was not a man of God, a serious person. When I say spiritual father, I don't think I was blazing in fire. I was not a serious Christian like that. Football was my priority before even God. Those days. You must understand this thing. I met some people that they say, I need separation. They're in a church. I need separation. I need separation. I need to be separated for some kind of, what do they call it, retreat. Some revival. Consecration. People are going for evangelism. You say, you cannot go for evangelism. You have something you are doing with God. You are praying at home. I think I've seen people like that. Those days on campus, people are going for evangelism like this as a group. He said, he wants to go alone. There's a guy like that. He said, I want to go alone. I'm led to go alone. You are not led. You are being foolish. When you get offended at brethren in church, you start behaving like a tartar in the spirit, thinking you are spiritual. See, some of them bone their face. Lagalaba. It's not any apostolic work. It is pride. Dirty pride emotion. So we'll pretend like they are even hearing God when you are talking to them. They don't want to talk to you. When they see you now, they'll start forming tongues. So you pray in tongues? And you do like that? That's why some people don't respect tongues. Some will finish praying in tongues and say, come, make I tell you what you do. Come. Into like that, too, my brother. Pray in tongues. Just go and speak in Idoma until you forget that thing you are doing. Tongues is not for you. Or probably Igala. There are people like that. Some of you, what you need to deal with your life is gossip. You can gossip. When you just hear this, the whole fiber of your being rises. Whoosh. I go buy you burger. Tell me what you have. You are ready to trade 5,000 naira for that cheese. You know, those days we were growing up, my immediate younger sister, her name is Teresa. Anytime there's a lady that used to stay with us, my mother's stepsister, yeah, something like that. Anytime, although she's very younger, anytime she comes out from command those days, she'll just call that lady to know what happened in the block in the back. So I used to notice them. She just come back, she just threw her bag. So now I say, Uncle, come. What happened today? So my mother noticed. Anytime she just come, my mother would just call the girl to come and help her in the kitchen. My sister would follow her to the kitchen and stay at the door. I say, Mommy, she has not finished. She has not finished. I'm a boy. So I was really bad. Is that how the thing is sweet? That's how some people are. In fact, sometimes men used to join. Boy, so you know, men and my boy, they don't used to do like this, like women. They'll confidently put their hand in their pocket. Boy, and you are a child of God, a Christian. Then there are some people that are couples, girlfriend and boyfriend. You are dating, but the kind of army boy people do. I dealt with a couple years ago in church, a couple to be. One time I was talking with them and I sensed it in my spirit. They were doing amebo for almost everybody they have discussed about. They know everybody. The way that one they be, I don't like them. They know everything about everybody. And I said, you people are, your dating is unto death. It's unto death. Don't be busybodies, the Bible said. I used to wonder how people do amebo and pray in tongues. How? Then you now, you now sweat. What are you sweating for? Go and enter AC and sleep. These are things that matter most in the realm of the spirit. No shouting. Are you listening to me? I'm not against gymnastic or prayer, like I said, but if you are doing these things are the detriment. And if you are doing all this gymnastics at the detriment of these virtues I've mentioned, you are wasting your time. And it is proof that there's something higher you need to understand first before you begin to do all this gymnastics of prayer. Listen, shaking your body is not prayer. It is the aftermath of prayer. If you are truly praying, it may resort to it, but that is not the definition of prayer. And be confident in this understanding. Let nobody move you. Some of you watch Facebook and you just see people shaking and say, hey, I never start. You have started. The next time you want to pray, you have burned your hand like this. Are you having epilepsy? Other people burn, you want to burn. That person may be doing it rightly, oh. Out of the Holy Ghost, you know, from the move of the Spirit. You just want to copy. You know that burn hand style? Somebody prays and his eye moves sometimes. You see, it's, oh boy, that's spiritual. You want to start praying now, you start moving your eye. Because you saw somebody moving his eye. And you don't know if that person is doing it the way the Holy Ghost is moving. You want your own moves in the Holy Ghost. You are forgetting your moves now. How is doing it when you pray now? You can't remember. Because you are in everybody's move. You don't copy. You don't forget your own. It is one day. You know, it's always problems that reveal that brings you back to that point. There's a point you get to. My mother said, now, person will not get problem, they pray with English. They arrange in English, talk to God. See, Simon, if I want to pray, I will just tell God my mind. I will tell him. Imagine somebody wants to pray, he's arranging Queen's English. Lord Almighty, maker of the heavens. You don't have a problem. That's how it is for some of you. You are copying tongues. You don't have problems. You are not crying anybody. If you are crying body, you want to arrange your tongues. You are not praying if you are copying somebody else's tongues. Now, if you are under somebody for a while, you may actually begin to sound like him because the same spirit may come on your inside. Do you get what I'm trying to say? That's a different case. Very different case. But you just see that before prayer starts, you have arranged the tongues you want to say. Liko, I heard Prophet Simon the other day. Les sombre henda rahundeth. E fly kapai. Liandus kahai. And somebody will just look at you, your friend, and say, probably never hit this one. I know I read tongues. I read tongues now. Bru, 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 bru. Stop trying to do copycats. Some of you are singers. Your own singing style is there. If everybody copied everybody, you would have not known who to copy. You would have not seen who to copy. Now, how you sing, man, you have forgotten. Before you know, because you heard it. Somebody said, meet me on C. You have forgotten the way you used to talk your own now. You are singing, meet me on F. The person said it by the unction of the Holy Ghost. You are copying. Now, the way you sing, you are forgotten. Even the Holy Ghost is waiting for you to come back. Let you people continue. Somebody was singing and throwing neck. You do not know why he's throwing the neck. You don't know what was moving him. You want to sing the next time. Immediately, some people just come to lamplight. Some people still forget. Their identity is lost. You see some talking. The way you know they're talking. So some they sing. They are copying somebody now. Come and lead opening prayer. And now we will begin to ascend into the realm of the... They say now opening prayer. He has taken 5 minutes to do exhortation for opening prayer. Indisciplined people. Those days, my spiritual father would just whisper to another person, go and collect the mic. I'm telling you, see, Kaya Bosika, you have not seen this grace. As you are explaining that, Rema, you just see somebody come close to you. Papa, say, make I collect the mic. You'll be like, I never finish now. You never finish. They tell you, make you start up. This is how the congregation will know that they just treat your foolish. All the congregation will know they just discipline you. Because you'll see yourself arguing. In fact, you'll die. But I never do anything. You collect it. If I have one friend, I would draw it from your hand. Wicked boy. There was one time I overpassed. You know, this time thing was not today. I passed time. They told me time. I forgot I was in the spirit. The guy just came. He's a captain now in the Nigerian Army. He just came. Papa, say my colleague, the mic. Say your time don't pass. I said, let me just round up in five seconds. He goes to look one kind. Give me my cue. He just threw it. I say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. You know, I pretended like we had. So I now hugged him. You know that kind of thing to look like it was just. He aligned. He gave me 2 hands on my back. I said, thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you. My shepherd, I just did like this. He just touched me, you and time. I did it purposely. Next time, if I say 5 minutes, 5 minutes, if he's seen now, he will know the thing didn't work. The truth does. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God forevermore. Amen. Are you here tonight? Certain kind of discipline, very important. Don't be like everybody. I have a friend in Josh. Somebody came to his church, sat down to hear the word. He was teaching sound doctrine. Sometimes when I look at you, I wonder whether I can be under him. I was listening to one of his sermons. 2 people were not dancing in the church. When he was done, he now collected the microphone. He said, 2 of you, who are you? He said, come to the front. He said, start a song. Dance. How can we be dancing for God? And 2 of you did not dance. Church, sit down and watch them dance. They sat down. He said, if you don't dance, you get out. My mind caught. I think, inside the message, my mind spoke. I said, hey. I can't try that kind of, no matter how, I cannot try that kind of thing. Even me, I had mercy on him. I just said, God, let's have mercy on this, my friend. Now, that's the person that was teaching. A lady came. While he was teaching, she was writing a brochure of Revelation, what she was saying. When she was done writing, 2 foolscap. When he finished, he was sitting in the office. He now came. He said, sir, I was sitting, and while we were ministering, this is what the Lord was telling me for you. He looked at it, front and back. He said, the Lord told you to tell me this. He said, sister, what is your name? She called her name. He said, listen, watch me. While I'm teaching the word that angels desire to see into, you, God is telling you to tell me something when he's talking to you. He now said, God is not an author of confusion. Get out from this place. Oh, that demon will leave that lady that day immediately. She will never be able to tell the story, but she will remember. That's the kind of discipline some people need. Well, you know, we have got to that point. Somehow, these people of, there's a generation of indiscipline. You know, this, I hear God easily. Just talk one word. God say, make I marry. I'm going to say, make I leave. I'm saying, change in mind. God told me to marry her. God told me, sorry, I've heard this one. God told me to date her for a season. So that I will train her to be this. And after I was done training her, it was my face week. So I left her for the re-husband to marry. I trained her for the husband. You know, have you heard things like that? Well, you've not heard. Somebody was telling me God told him to be with the lady for a season. And he knew when the season would be over. But in the season that we're doing, I love you, talk your own. Like God is an author of confusion. And some people are making God look like one kind of a being. God can never do that rubbish. Some again will sit down with their indisciplined nature and say, God, say you are my wife. And date you after 3 years. SS will not change the voice of God. Sorry, AS. Will not do genotype. AS. Wisdom is profitable to direct. God say has turned to wisdom is profitable to direct. Heaven help those that help themselves. One of my friends messaged me after telling me God said, I mean, it was so fiery. Just 2 weeks to wedding, they forgot. So I think to save yourself, before you agree that God said to you, ask blood and this thing. Genotype, eh? So that you can confidently say God said. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Let's not be embarrassing ourselves. And I said, we are both SS man of God, even though God said it. I said, God is not an author of confusion. It's either he said it or he did not say it. And if you believe he said it, and you know he said it, enjoy this adventure of faith. He said, man of God, I spoke with some people. As if me, I'm not people now. I spoke with some people. And he now told me, now he's showing me how spiritual fire. I spoke with my spiritual. So we now agreed that wisdom is profitable to direct. And that sometimes somebody can make a mistake in hearing. Well, I thank God for his sincerity. And he left. Wake up. Are we together? Wake up. And the worst of it is you that are dating for dating sake. You know why some ladies date anyhow? They look down on themselves. They really look down on themselves. If you really know your worth, why will you be a believer? A serious believer that know God wants to do business with you, and you are dating somebody who is not coming to church, who does not love the Lord. In fact, not just dating, you have mind to be liking him. You are catching feelings for him. I like Johnson, but the problem is, say, he don't like God. But I like him. Now, a good person. Somebody that does not like God is a good person. That's the trap Satan has put most church ladies. It's church ladies that Satan has to time in this area. I know as I'm talking now, they are not here. I'm talking to atmosphere and wind. Those ladies, they never used to be around in church. They used to miss Tuesday service. They will toast you, waiting no good. You will not know when you start shining your teeth. If you are praying in tongues and listening to my sermon every morning, you would have not fallen a prey to that demon. No. But at a point, self, Satan will start telling you, your pastor can be a barrier in your life sometimes. See the blessing God is bringing. Waiting be this while they see. Maybe Benz. And this and that. And now man of God is telling me that Oche is my own. For what now? Oche never even start life like that. Though. Now go up and get. The thing never grew. I'm not sure he has sold up to 3 cars. The thing is still pushing it. How can God choose Oche? He sells Benz. Somebody has Benz. Who is bigger actually? Is it not Oche? But because you don't have eyes, you will not see. Ladies in church, listen to me. I'm speaking to all of you prophetically. When God is doing something on... See, try to understand the ways of God. Your husbands are not far from you. This is a live service. I'm talking to the world. And I don't care if they hear me. They are not far from you. God cannot be raising you up in a place and put your husband in Mars or Jupiter. Some of you have pride. That's why you will not see your husbands. See my husband for this church. Small children. Who is small children? You know, and I've told you, you have a problem. Any lady that looks at her mate or a senior and says small children, she has a problem. A problem that uncles and brother Johnson's them caused for us. While we're playing ball, soccer, monkey pose, we're 15, people were 15. While we're playing ball and PS, Johnson will not allow you people to rest in the area. Johnson will say, hey, Abigail, come here. What did they teach you for school today? That's how they started the talk. Abigail, how are you? Blah, blah, blah. Johnson will start toasting you at 17. We are playing football. Now that we have grown now, after Johnson has finished dealing with you, you don't want to agree for us. You think we are children. Because you have experienced 27. And now, Sue is talking to you. Just a 23-year-old boy. And you are 22 and a half. You see? You have interfaced with men. That is why you have to be careful. You have interfaced with older men. Now that a young man is looking at you like this with a bright future, you cannot see it. Because even bears, man, you are not seeing. It's just age he's calling. Some of you, your husbands are very close. I'm not sure. I wanted to say cosmos, but I would say cosmos is still growing. Of course, now their cosmos is for their Esther, then when they grow. Why are you turning your back? See your husbands and wives. See, what are you seeing now? Wait till they look for Sokoto. We know they are Sokoto. What are you looking for? This is why I say Kai. Yeah. You are not. How old are you now? 20. 22. And you have graduated. In the next 3 years, you can marry. Not now. You are doing like this. You don't have girlfriend. You've never had girlfriend. It's a simple question. You don't have girlfriend. You've never had girlfriend. You are thinking, I will knock you after service. Are you here this wonderful evening? They are around you. Can't you see this man? So wise, he has catched this woman. Yeah. Marriage next year. No time to waste. This one I'm married. Pastor Emma, I'm married. You know, one guy wanted to, like, he said in our church we are marrying ourselves. Pastor is sharing wife. No problem, we are sharing. That kind of thing, right? What's my business? Before, is it their self that they should marry? Is it not ourselves that we should marry? No. Say they marry their self for the church. Why? Zed. You think me, anybody can intimidate me with some useless words? Now, when ourself more could marry before. What did God tell Moses? He said, marry within the camp. This is GCMI camp. Marry yourselves. You are not celebrating Jesus. As long as the person senior you with 1 second. As long as the man senior you what? Half second. The man can be your husband. Half. Half second. He just made the second small. You want to tell me that the boys who are raising here are not responsible people? Can you look at Jairus now and say he's not responsible? Look at this man looking like a husband material. See how he's looking? Look at them. Responsible looking men. Or share them. You don't want to. He's pointing somebody for me. Even you, them. Responsible man. So needed. You see them? I'll mention you, but you have to grow first. Do you understand? You and your friend Cosmos. I'm scared of mentioning you people because if I let me stop in the mentioning before there will be a problem after this service. You know, one day Latifa met me after church. She said I was mentioning people that were married. I jumped her. Is there something? It was in an example. So I said to her, sorry, it was just a coincidence. And responsible women like Latifah. Do you understand? It's not beef, it's just coincidence. Some people want to blackmail us with these things. We don't care. We don't care. Let the kingdom of God propagate. If you don't marry yourself, is it importer and exporter you want to go and marry? Importer of Gulda, exporter of stout. So that when we'll visit you now with Mama T, you keep stout for us. In the... Say, man of God, there is nothing really. We're checking mouths, we did not see mouths. We don't know if we can manage this star. And this stout, we'll add milk to dilute this thing. Like some people, they will say they want to get blood. We'll now mix stout and milk. If you want to just drink. Don't be doing all those lightings. Say, they say, doctor, say, make I take small stout and milk. If highness is worrying you high, you are seeing malt, it's stout you want to take. You now see them, the way they are taking it, you know there's a special agenda for that thing. Doctor, say, make I take a. You don't turn professional. Hallelujah to Jesus. Are you understanding me tonight? Very important. We are building something that will stand the test of time. This thing will speak to your generation and your children's children. This work we are doing today, that's why you must hold it very. Live for it. Say, I'm living for the kingdom, but you are avoiding your local church. How? For your kingdom, then come to church. You are not coming. You are not living for the kingdom. Prove you are living for the kingdom by living for your church. Because the only pointer for the kingdom on the earth for you today is your church. You know, I think I heard one of the HODs talking to me about something. They are keeping us in one place. We are not expressing ourselves. What do you want to express? The person was saying that they need to go travel around and go and express themselves. That's how death begins. That's the spirit of death. That's how it begins to express itself. Small. If they swear for you that you will be useless, it starts like that. Satan have tried, and now it's prevailing small. It's the truth. You just want to be everywhere and be nowhere. People are not intelligent. Ask yourself real-time questions. The people that were everywhere, where are they today? Let me give you one literal example. I'm not supposed to say this in the public, but I'll say it. Go and look for ministers, especially psalmists, who are planted in a local church. Go and check 10 years, trace 10 years to now, if they are still there. Check the ones who left local church and they are everywhere. Tell me the ones who are truly making genuine progress. Go and do the assignment, especially in this town. Tell me. You see one everywhere you think is progress until you say, stay, let me weigh you on a scale. And weigh this one that is in one place on the scale. You'll be amazed. Say, same thing I always say, Pastor Chris. Pastor Chris has been one place in this world for a long time. I'm not trying to disrespect any man of God in this world. But the truth is that we know when it comes to influence. I don't know his face. I really have not seen who is first. When it comes to real-time influence, that you school a generation of people to believe a dogma, a particular kind of dogma, which is, of course, I believe is the gospel of Christ. It is very hard to find the people thinking the same way, not outside the box of scriptures. You can be able to say a word and a billion of people are listening to you. Different continents will come and sit and be schooled. They'll do things your way. I'm not talking about haphazardly sitting down. No. And I'm not disrespecting any other ministry. According to men of God and the Pentecostalism, the men of God and the Pentecostal church, we believe that there is no man as influential as him right now as a preacher. That's what we believe. And there's no system as administrative and effective as a system. And that's why you can see success. The work of God propagating. People rising and doing great things. You can rise in the ministry and influence your generation. You must not be plugged out to influence your generation. There's this useless idea Satan is bringing that except you cut off, you cannot cause influence. I told you a story of a woman that was pushing her husband to start his ministry because she said how God has given her a global ministry for women. And she said she cannot be under another woman. She is supposed to be on top, leading women. The man said, God called me to be here. I cannot be anywhere. She said, no, that's not what God called. And they had to report the case to their spiritual father. And the woman of the ministry had to judge the case. She said, where do you want to go to? Who stopped you from having influence? And that's why you must be careful who you marry. Because that kind of home will hardly see peace. They asked her, who stopped you? Did anybody stop you from causing influence to your generation? You want to cause influence? Carry your Bible, enter the street and start preaching. Preach to as many women you want to preach. Some of you don't know that partition, even though it can be from God sometimes, it can be highly from Satan. Division. Five people start a work. Five people now have a ministry. The five now are trusting God for five members. What did the five do that God separated five of them? If you observe, one said something, the other did not agree. Next week, God called him. One did something, the other one did not agree. It seems as if God called people immediately, there's disagreement. Then you are wondering, why is the revival halting? Why is the revival not? Because of the mindset. Terrible. We're not seeing revival in our generation. The mindset is terrible. People don't want to sit down. Satan will just use them and scatter anything God is doing. That one have stand up. Horns have grown. The horns of pride. It was once calm. Now the horns of pride. Nobody can talk to him again. That's how Satan causes disturbances. Before you know, the man of God is trying to gather the people to think straight again. To think straight. And you'll be thinking God is the one pushing you. Pushing you. So listen to this last point like that I said I'm making. A lot of times, when you claim you are hearing God, come and sit under somebody who you believe God called you to come. Because you know sometimes, these young people, when it gets to that point where we need to vet whether you really heard God, some people will now start noticing that that's not where they are supposed to be all this while. I thought this is where I'm supposed to be, but I just found out that's not where I'm supposed to be. Because now your ego has been touched. And that's my pastor. That's my spiritual father. Till one day they call you to the office. I say, that decision you are making will destroy you. Change that decision. You say, no. I'm submitted to so-so person. The person you are submit, they say submit, meaning you can submit anything, any decision you are making when God speaks through that man of God. That is why if God did not lead you, don't come and submit. But when you open your mouth and say, God led me to come here, this is my spiritual father, there are some consequences like that. There are some times that you just need to trust us that that's not the decision to make. Because you are not actually seeing it. And no matter who said it, you may not see it. But probably we are seeing from somewhere you cannot see from right now. It has to be by trust at certain junctures. Why did Abraham leave his father's house and go to another nation? Because he trusted the Lord. Did he see anything else? There were times that Samuel would give a word. The king would say, no, I think it should be like this. He was not seeing anything properly. Samuel had to tell him one day, say, today you've lost your crown. Because it didn't make sense to Samuel, to the king, that Samuel was giving this kind of instruction from the Lord. That's how it is sometimes in God. You have everything figured out. God will say, that's not it. I finished everything. I prepared the program. They're supposed to be, God say, you come to this place, that program, go and collect all your money back. It will not happen. Sir, I've shared the ambies. Go and collect the money back. It's not supposed to happen. I remember one of those days. I was not all the perfect son, but I tried my best. We were in a meeting. I didn't like moving out those days. I didn't like going anywhere. My spiritual father told me to follow him to a meeting in Transformation of God Church in Coleman Marsh. While I was there, I just, the crowd, people were plenty. He was sitting where he needed to sit. I just left the meeting and went home. So later he was looking for me because he was worried. You know, he likes doing that. When we finish, he'll be looking for all his boys before he start going. So where's Simon? Nobody could see me. He now called my line. Where are you? He says, sir, I'm at home. He says, since when? He says, I was tired, so I had to go home. What? I came somewhere with you. Where are you now? He said, start coming. Well, I'm waiting for you. From India barracks, I trek back to Kurmimashi. Met him there. He said, let's go. Then we started going home again together. I know if it's this generation, will be like, sir, with all due respect, we didn't join that one inside spiritual father. How that one take affects our work with God? As he make I come there, we could start come back again. I don't even get transport, sir. God knows. He's justified before heaven. Transport I don't get. Holy Spirit, will you kill me if I don't have transport to God? God will understand. That is why I always hardly used to tell people. I say, see, it will be hard to see people rise in this generation because the level of indiscipline is too much. Paul said that's one of the signs of the end time. Parents, children will be very disloyal to their parents, even spiritual children. Any small thing, somebody have advised you, and your church, why don't you allow people to go outside, go sing? How you want to shine like Moses, please? How you want to shine? I beg. Something is too much. I'm not talking against your pastor. He's a nice man, but some principles he has. Check it out. Check it out. Even some people that were there, why did they leave? Do you understand? Think Amo, now your destiny will they talk about. Other persons break out, they know they shine. God is in the heart. Nobody can stop your work with God. You know do I'm right, but you do. You know they live with God, you know pray this morning. Did God say get out? I know some of you are surprised. How did he know the voice of the, how did he know how they used to talk? The Bible said, be not ignorant of what? The devices of the devil. Then some bitter people who have left will call you. Hey, why did you not come to church? Oh boy, I know fit. It's not working. I mean, I just cannot do it. If you check deeper, they want to do a stupid thing. Any boy that wants to leave this place, he has a bad decision to make. Huh? He knows it will not work here. The next option is what? Go. If I want to enter the relationship now, Pastor Emma will say I never reach. So, and I'm convinced she's my wife. I'm convinced. I've seen it. I can feel it. I see it. I feel it. But if I tell Pastor Emma, I go tell Prophet. You know the way Prophet does. Prophet no rates me. He could just tell me, you grow up. Don't dare that thing. So the best thing now, as I'm sure, I heard God, so I will leave. I'm telling you. Some again is pride. They see somebody they started with doing better than them. Then you trust prophet. Now prophet will not heal the person. He's doing well because he used to hear word. This one want to die now. Clap for him. The people are doing well. Prophet will be taking the glory if we are not doing well. You will not be. Are we not the same? Are we not the same on the same grace? Why is the grace not working? Now coincidence. You be just make them talk the truth. No be miracle. Now somebody dash our money. Now why he start the business? Why can't they lie saying our God? Okay, as they feed dash, I made a dash. You know people don't think. They just want to always create excuses for why they are not. They want to excuse. See, sometimes the reason why it's not working for you is not because your time has not reached. It's because you have bad character. Like I tell you the truth. Bad character! And if it's that, like this, you want to live your life, that time no go ever reach you. Until you change and start living like everybody else. And it will be a shame that after staying 10 years in church, you end up being a hookup girl. Because you are looking for money. Change your bad character now. I'm speaking reality. Some of you are laughing. We've seen it. They talk to you, you don't want to hear. Now you are considering a very stupid life. A shameful life. Even sometimes, ladies, the characters you live in, the way you portray yourself in church, do you think it's easy for a guy to look at you and say, I want to marry you? In your department, you are the most stubborn. Most stubborn. That new guy that came to church, the way he's looking at you, he's considering something. He now see the way they are speaking to you. I say, I couldn't come, sir. I was busy, sir. He now does his hand like this. meaning God forbid, but he would have actually considered the way he saw the way you spoke to Pastor Peter that senior him. He said, cuckoo, if you speak to somebody while they call sir like this, me just this living thing, what will happen to me? Give yourself bad name. Are you listening to me? At some point, I caught somebody in church. Please, Pam, just don't be offended that it's taking too long. I caught somebody in church. They think we're joking with them. You know, some of you, when we teach you grace, God's grace and mercy and console you, you think we're telling you, be gracious, take more grace to go and be stupid. The guy was messing around. He was asking ladies out. Old man, over 30-something, going to 40. He would look for small girls in church and be toasting them. So one time the report came to me. That this boy is toasting. In fact, they caught him kneeling down and begging one girl. Red-handed. One of my pastors saw him. Just opened door one morning. He saw him kneeling down and begging. Please love me. Please. Old man. You know the pain? You are begging somebody just to sleep it down and run away. I don't know how Satan moves through people like that. Because right now he's begging another one. And this one now is a church. He's begging. We just got the news. He has knelt down and beg now again. Who? I don't know that some of you sitting there, he has begged you to. When I heard the news, I said to myself, this is not a weakness. This is disrespect and foolishness. Paul said, tell those people to God, let Satan feed on their flesh. I said, call him to come. He came, I said, if I ever hear this thing again in this church, it will be your last day in this church. When he did it again, he didn't even wait for the last day, he ran away. You can't help yourself, you are the most disrespectful in the department. You are struggling with a bad character when your HOD says, sit down, you stand up. Pride wants to kill you, yet lust wants to finish you. How do you think God's word will work on your inside with this kind of bad character that you have? You are struggling with lust and struggling with pride. Is it not glaring that's why there's lust in your life? And when you leave now, you go and tell people they were not nice to us in church. Oh fool, I wish your eyes are open to see that those things are not passing the first heavens. They don't matter. The day I received Jesus and understood some things to this level, I knew that nobody can pull me down. It doesn't matter the lies we share out there. Have you ever seen me preaching here wondering whether you will like my preacher or not? I truly don't care. Do I even know what made you to come here and listen to me? But I was so sure from the onset I knew this, that nobody can resist the truth from my mouth. If you really love God, you will love what I say. And now, right now, what did I do? I called, I said, get out from this church. Just go away. Leave. When he left, we said, block the doors. He should never come close to this place again. Never. And for that lady, I heard that somebody is actually asking somebody else. I said, if the person is in church and somebody who misbehaves like that is asking you why you are still in the assembly, you should check yourself. It's like there's a curse upon your life that you must fulfill, a generational curse. You are seeing death and choking your hand there and say, kill me. You know, sometimes you hear that my mother made a mistake, my elder sister made a mistake, another person that is I'm following made a mistake. It is one character Satan will just put in their underlings. They know they hear word. First generation made the same mistake. Second generation made, they all gave birth in the house. It comes to your point, you think they blow one charm. Which charm they used to blow that will make you open your legs for a man to make you pregnant? Which charm? Say, as they blow the charm, I don't know it will worry me now. I just allow the man to sleep with me now and get belly. Which charm is that? Fornication charm? It's stubbornness. Stubbornness. When they are talking to you, you are feeling like Bruce Lee. Bruce Lee now don't carry belly. Listen, sometimes when you see people in problems, do you know you can tell why they are in the problems? You can meet somebody that has a child out of wedlock, yet full of pride. You now know where that child came out of wedlock. You have to wake up. Are you all listening to me? You know what God is doing. You guard it with the whole of your life, GCMite. Are you listening to me? Guard it. This is not something that will end there. It will speak from generations to generation. Don't you want your children to know God like you know God? You want to wake up one day and tell your children that you started somewhere, you are here, and now you are there, you have changed over 10 church. And like I always tell you people here, we are not pushing you. See, the last thing in my heart for you to ever give me in this ministry before I end is money. If you really look into my eyes and watch my life carefully, I have never pastored anybody for money. I have never wanted anybody to give me money in this place. I would rather endure the pain of not having than to say, please give me. Even adding please to it. My pastors know me, if you know me carefully, you can tell. To borrow, it would be as if heaven is looking at me and saying,